Welcome to John Wayne Lie to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, the new 2019, back again at ya. To figure out a better one than that. John Wayne, that's right, here I am. All of those things and more. More than you could ever hope for. Welcome, everybody. It is the first show of the new year, and maybe I'm a little more giddy than usual. I don't know. I'm feeling it. I am here in Wayne Manor, of course, nestled snugly as a bugly and a rugly in the East Wing in the Library of Evil. I've got the candles lit, of course. I've got my coffee, Topo Chico, and a nice piping hot bowl of Grand Pappy's medicine over here. It smells delightful. And it is a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me. This has been a pretty cool week as far as starting the new year. Had a couple days off from the day job. I got a lot of writing done and things like that. I also want to mention at the top of the show, before I forget, my new book, As Seen on TV from Grindhouse Press, comes out the 19th of January, but is up for pre-order right now. You can pre-order the Kindle version, and you can get the paperback and Kindle and everything on the 19th. Please check it out. This is a very cool book about a serial killer who is obsessed with As Seen on TV products. But the story isn't actually about him killing or his killings at all. It's more about his love for these products and how he believes there's a secret to be unlocked in each one, and how a neighbor moves into the apartment next to him, and all of a sudden he starts to doubt whether it's been him who's kept himself from being caught throughout his entire killing career. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to write and hard at times, and I'm really proud of it. I also drew the cover, and I think it turned out pretty rad. So please check it out. Pre-order now or get it on January 19th. I'll be blabbing on about it up until then. So, like I said, had a couple days off, did some things. Oh, on New Year's Eve, I hope everyone had a great time. I had an awesome time. I ate, maybe like 3 grams of these badass mushrooms. I sat in the Library of Evil and basically just blew my mind away. There was like, it was a great, great time. I was listening to this new Sun record that I got from Vinyl Edge. Shouts out Vinyl Edge in Houston, 19th Street. Check them out. It was so awesome. I was sitting there. I was drawing. I was just kind of chilling, man, and enjoying the time. And then, you know, after I, you know, on the downslope of it, coming off of the peak and everything, I went out and actually like just cleaned the house for 3.5 hours, the manor, if you will. So that was my New Year's, and I think it set my brain right and kind of gave me a good perspective and a nice, you know, breaking down to size. It's just a clear destruction of ego, ready to go into the new year as clear and with the best perspective possible, unclouded. If I can. But anyway, I had a great time. I hope you did too. You know, did some stuff at the day gig. But the one thing that I do want to talk about that and I really want to get some feedback on this. Holy shit. Whoa, one of the candles just went nuts. People had to blow it out, I think. But we're all right. We're all right. But this is live. We don't cut. It's not live, but we're not cutting away. You know, you guys, we're here together. One of the candles just went nuts, but I just had to blow it out. We're all good. But anyway, okay. I want to talk about some feedback I received this week, and I really want to open this up for discussion. Please, I'd like to hear feedback on this to see if you agree with me, or if, you know, I'm just some asshole, or whatever. You know, I really do want to know what you think Of course, I'm at Instagram and Twitter at John Wayne is Dead, or, you know, my Facebook is John Wayne Kaminali. That is just my name. And so you can get me at any of those things. But so let me set the scene. So a few weeks ago when I was at Jekyll and Hyde Con with Nick P, shouts out Nick P, and I talked about it, you know, there. It was, you know, kind of a rough going, a little bit slower than usual. And there was a gentleman across the way from me. I think I referenced him in the episode. He was the one that was kind of like getting a little impatient. And you know, Nick was upset when he heard the episode. He said, I thought I downplayed, you know, the guy. And I did a little bit because I was like, well, I don't want to, you know, call him out. What if he's listening? I doubt he was listening to this. But anyway, I'm not telling the truth. He was very much like one of those like Seinfeld moments, like George is getting upset. You know, like he was kind of gonna possibly break, I don't know, just grab his easel and start beating his, you know, his artwork with it, and like, you know, banging on the, I don't know, something like that. But anyway, this guy had come up to me towards the end of the convention, and he asked, he was just asking me about different cons and stuff, and how I was doing here, and asked, he was talking about this convention in Hot Springs, Arkansas, called SpaCon, and he asked me if I'd heard of it, and I was like, no, I haven't, but, you know, my band just played through Hot Springs at the end of August, beginning of September, or something, when we were on tour, and I was like, so, and we did really well there. I'd go to a convention there, because then I could also play a show and all that stuff. And he was like, you know, interested talking about where we played. I said, Maxine's, shouts out Maxine's. He was like, oh yeah, he knew exactly what I was talking about. And he said, hey, you should, it's in September, you should apply. You do really well there. And I was like, okay, that's cool, I will. So I took a note down in my phone so I'd remember it. And maybe about, I guess a month ago now, 4 weeks ago, I would say, it can't be that long. Two and a half weeks. I went online and went to the website and registered for a vendor spot. It's just pretty much like most, you know, half of them just let you pay for your thing right then. Some of them like to, you know, have you fill out the information, send it to them, and then they, you know, do some quote unquote review and just like send it back, like basically just approve you and just send back a link, and then you pay like that. So this was one of those situations. So when I filled it out, you know, it says like, what is your deal? What are you doing? And I fill it out like I'm an author. I have this many published books that I'll be selling, and I also will be bringing my my band's new 12-inch record and 3 7-inch records and data, because you have to list out all the stuff that you would have basically. So I'm just saying that, and they, you know, ask for a link, provide links to your, represent your things you'll be having there. So I sent them a link to the website, the John Wayne is Dead website. Check it out, johnwayneisdead.com. Get everything you need on the shop page. And then I sent them, I think, the link to my Amazon author page. So that just like they click on it and all my stuff comes up right there on Amazon. They can check it out. And that was it. And it was just like, okay, thank you. We'll be back to you in 1 to 2 business days with a link for you to pay for your table. And I was like, okay. So it was before Christmas when I did this, and I remember like thinking like, I didn't get anything back yet after like 3 or 4 days, but I just figured, you know, it's the holidays, I'm sure it's probably one of those things where they're not even messing with this stuff right now and they'll get back to me. So they did get back to me. This past Wednesday, I received an email Wednesday morning from the convention, and this is what it reads. Mr. Kaminali, thank you so very much for your interest in being a vendor at SpaCon 2019. I apologize for taking such a long time to get back in touch with you. Our committee has been reviewing your application for quite some time, listening to your tracks, viewing your artwork, and perusing the link you sent showing examples of all the kinds of work you'd be interested in bringing to our convention. After much deliberation, we simply feel that your work isn't a fit for our expo hall. We know all our artists work very hard on their creative endeavors, and that's why it's taken us so long to come to this decision. It's not one we ever make lightly. We wish you the best of luck in all your creative endeavors. Sincerely, regards, and it says Emily. I'm not going to go into her last name or position or anything like that, because I'm not that kind of person. But so I read that and I was like, whoa. At first blush, I was like, what the fuck? The fuck do you mean? But then I was like, kind of just more, not angry, but kind of like perplexed a little bit. And I was like, well, okay, I can accept that. But I was really curious. I was like, why? What was it exactly? So I was like, I gotta reply. I mean, I'm not gonna be a dick about it, but I wanted to know if there was something specific about what I presented, because I've never run into this before, and I've done more than several conventions now, and I feel like, okay. So I replied back. Interesting. Is it something particular that disqualifies me? I table with my books at cons all over the country. I'm just curious. John Wayne. I felt like that was not dickish, but also like, hey, you know, I know what I'm talking about here. You know, just kind of like, I didn't want her to think I was some kind of creepy asshole dick or some kind of like, fucking, I'm going to listen to anything you say pushover. So I thought that was an appropriate response. I then received another email from her. A little while later, Mr. Comunale, as stated on our terms and conditions page, we do reserve the right to refuse to allow displays or merchandise that is pornographic, violent, contains graphic nudity, shows drug paraphernalia, weapons, etc. This is an all-ages family event and will be treated as such. She could have ended it right there, right? But this is like the end. In reading your book descriptions on Amazon, reviewing your own website, listening to your YouTube commercials, and to clips of your musical tracks, we are exercising our right of refusal. Best regards, Emily. So I got that back, and I was, you know, my first reaction to that was, what? Are you talking about my stuff? But then I was like, okay, step back, and I thought about it, and I was like, okay, if you don't want me at your convention, that's fine. I mean, I can accept that. If I'm like, if there's some kind of hard set rule that I am breaking, that, you know, that disqualifies me from being there, I understand that, absolutely. The issue that I have with this, and this is what I want, you know, to see if anybody agrees with me or not, I think they're walking that's a very blurry line, slippery slope, when you're having an art event, an art convention that brings artists to it, yet you are choosing, you're curating specifically what kind of representation of art you want there to be. Okay, but I think that this feels like it's walking a really weird line of censorship, only because, you know, whether my stuff has all of these things they listed, and what, you know, I don't have, I'm not an extreme horror writer. I don't really have anything that's, you know, just for the sake of, you know, being graphic. I think everything that's in my writing serves the story, as far as that goes. But beyond that, even if it didn't, even if it didn't at all, and it was just like blatantly that, I don't think that it's necessarily one person or their committee, however many people this is, to make that decision for the entire attendees of this convention. There's kids at all these conventions that I go to. There's families at every convention you go to. You know, it's kind of like a family bonding thing. I see at least at a lot of horror conventions. It's awesome to see the kids and the parents, you know, and they're dressed up and everyone's having a good time and enjoying it. And you can see what my booth is walking over to it. You know, I have pictures of my last few displays on my Instagram at John Wayne is Dead, if you want to check them out. You know, there's nothing like particularly, there's nothing pornographic, there's nothing violent, there's nothing like that at all. There's a big pentagram with my name around it. There's some skulls. There's, you know, I have horror props all over the table to decorate and such, but there's nothing like over the top gory or over the top satanic even when you look at it. So I think that but even so, you can look at it and tell, hey, that's not the table for me, or that's not the table I want my kid going to, and you don't take it to them. Or you do. I have kids, parents that bring their kids up to our table, you know, when myself and David Barbie, who I'll be seeing very soon in Atlanta in about 2 weeks, shouts out Barbie, and I'll see you in 1 week at BizarroCon. What the fuck am I talking about? Yes, we had several kids come up, and it was awesome, you know. And you also have to, I accept the fact that the things that I create, my books especially, the music, it's not for everyone. It's not. It's not for everyone. And there's going to be a lot of people who don't like it, a lot of people who do. I just think that wherever this committee thing that all of my stuff hit had to go through before being approved, I just think that I lost my train of thought. Goddamn Grandpappy's medicine. I don't know. It's like they are deciding for the people there. They're stopping that there. It's their decision of it not being for them that is preventing it from going forward and having other people think of, you know, make the decision for themselves. I just think that is an odd concept. I'm sure there's and there's good points on their side as well. I'm sure they maybe, you know, I'm not gonna, there's stuff, my commercials online, yeah, they're crazy, they're wacky, they're funny. They've got like especially the porn star retirement plan commercial, if they watched that, you know, we're all like doing wacky things, you know. There's no blatant graphic nudity or sex or anything, like any of the things that was listed in that list. I don't have any of those things. There's no extreme violence. There's no, certainly nothing on display that you could see that would offend the average goer. But I don't know. And if they want to deep dive into my stuff and just disqualify me overall, then that's fine. Then I can say, hey, I'm not for you. I'm not for you. But you know what? Maybe I could have been for some of the people at this convention, but they'll never know because, you know, there's this roadblock. But like I said, there's good decisions on good points on both sides. They probably, maybe they've had some weirdos in there, that there's been incidents before that I'm not privy to, and they're trying to prevent things like that. Maybe it is like a super soft, you know, fluff type of presentation, and I am very hard edged and, you know, and spooky and scary and have a whole thing going on, that maybe it just was like so against their aesthetic. I don't know. It was just odd that this gentleman who has been to the convention a few times and did well would tell me, you need to go to this convention, you do well there. And then I apply, and then the convention's like, no, you're not for us. Anyway, just, it was weird, but I also kind of thought like, hell yeah, dude. I'm getting fucking censored by these people. I have arrived. I'm doing something. I'm shaking it up, man. Or not. I don't know. My thing is messing up. So let me know if I'm out of line here, or you maybe think that this is something you agree with, or what the take is. Let me know. Hit me up either on Instagram or Twitter at John Wayne is Dead, or on Facebook. You can message me at my name. Say my name. Anyway, so that was weird. That was a interesting situation I've never had to deal with yet. Especially, you know, in all the conventions that I've been signing up for, it's not like that. But maybe I stepped out of my lane on this one. I'm not sure. Regardless, we shall move along to our tarot reading this week. As you know, I do a tarot reading, three-card tarot reading on myself before every episode to just kind of structure my thoughts based on what's going on with what the cards say. So when I'm shuffling them up, I'm thinking about things on, you know, what I'm trying to decide or think about or what's just been on my mind lately. So I think about that as I'm, you know, kind of shuffling it up. And this week I was thinking about, you know, being social. Am I being sociable enough? I feel like I've been maybe caught up so much of work and busy and preparing and then going out of town and coming back and rest. It's like, I'm not as social as I used to be, and I maybe am suffering energy-wise from that. I'm not sure. Preparation, as far as like preparation of focus, planning for the future, a budget. I've been thinking about that as far as allocating finances for travel and cons and balancing it against what I need to bring in and that kind of stuff. I wrote, what does success look like for this new year? I know that sounds like such a generic, like a business or like a, I don't know, it reminds me of some generic kind of Starbucks term, like what does success look like? But I really want, I need to like visualize that, I think, so that I can have really clear direction on what I'm going to do this year. So those things in mind, I drew the cards, and the first card I drew was the Four of Cups. This is one of my favorite cards. I had this in a reading from somebody else that was doing a reading on me that just provoked a lot of thought in me, and you know, it actually did help me out. So the Four of Cups, when you get the Four of Cups, there's invitations and offerings are flowing your way, but for now you're not interested. Use discernment to decide what is truly important to you, and do not be afraid to turn down projects. So that's something that, you know, that's something I've talked about before. Do I take on too much? I don't even know why I ask. I know I do. Sometimes, not all the time. I'm definitely trying to do a lot better with that, but that's just something, you know, if I'm going to, you know, do some demarcation of like, okay, new year, start it here with some new plans, then I might as well, you know, go into the new year not taking on extraneous projects that I, you know, maybe aren't, I'm not benefiting from, or I'm not going to be even able to put my full attention in because I'm over, you know, just, I'm overstimulating myself. No, I'm just overloading myself. You are creating space within yourself so you are ready to accept new opportunities later and give them the best possibility of success. So that's like kind of like, you know, you don't, I don't want to take on too many projects to where there could be something out there that I have no space for. So this is kind of saying like, create that space now because something could, you know, be coming, or just even what I'm already cultivating. I feel like maybe my, you know, writing career or whatever, make more room for that to grow, or those opportunities to feed that, so I'm not doing so many extraneous things. You may be bored or unsatisfied with everyday life. Bring your attention inward and reevaluate and find a deeper meaning to what you do. Disengage from the crowd to listen to your own voice. You know, that's a pretty good description of how I feel sometimes. I'm not necessarily bored or unsatisfied with everyday life, because my life is pretty cool. I really do a lot of cool things all the time. There's just aspects of my life that are unsatisfying to me and therefore boring, you know, but they're necessities. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, some of it's necessary. Those are necessary parts. So it's just kind of like, all right, go inward, reevaluate, and I feel like if I can deal with those boring chunks by, you know, strengthening this greater meaning of what I do, deeper meaning of what I do, like this says, if you know, and then step away and listen to your own voice. disengage from the crowd. That's just always important, and maybe it's just something, like, I don't feel like I'm being influenced by a crowd of voices or a popular opinion right now, even within, like, the indie lit scene or something, but maybe it's just something to be aware of, just, like, think more before I just, like, accept things. So that's, I like that card a lot, and it has different meanings. Like, it had a different kind of feel when I had it read to me the first time, where it was like being unsatisfied, but make sure that I'm aware enough to grab the fourth cup when it comes, because it's like the fourth cup is being handed to this dude sitting under a tree by a hand that's popping out of like a cloud in the thin air. So it's like saying he's not expecting that. He's got these three other things, but maybe that's not what's important. What's important is all of a sudden being thrust out at him from nowhere, like a surprise. And is he aware enough to grab that opportunity, because that's the one, not these ones he's cluttered himself with, these three cups at his feet. So anyway, I like that card. Second card, Four of Swords. This kind of like had a same folding in meaning here. It tells you to rest before the next challenge. You've reached an important milestone and must recharge your energy before the next phase, so you are refreshed. Even if you are highly productive and driven, you must take time to heal the body and mind. Constant stress and tension will break even the hardest and most resilient of people. I thought that was important because I always do say, like, man, I need... you know, I need to rest a little bit or relax, or my therapist says take time to relax, and I'm not good at it, or I always feel like I need to be doing something, and I don't know, that maybe that is affecting me adversely. But I don't know exactly how to take this rest that it's talking about. Like, don't work on anything, like, just like what? I'm not sure. 'Cause even if I'm sitting watching like Married with Children, you know, at night, or which is one of my favorite shows, or I put on a movie, you know, I watched this movie called Frightmare, or The Horror Star, that I got from Vinegar Syndrome. Shouts out Vinegar Syndrome. And it was awesome, and I'll do stuff like that, but the whole time I've got my iPad and I'm drawing or working on a drawing and stuff that I'm doing. You know, I don't know. I really, I guess, gotta concentrate on that, because I'm gonna be very busy and I don't need to burn out in any kind of way. It says, take a break. This is not the time to make decisions. And this is like kind of goes back to the Four of Cups, where it's saying, you know, use discernment to decide what is important. Don't be afraid to turn things down. You know, now is not the time to make decisions over here. You're not, your new challenge is to stay quiet and inactive, build mental strength, and clear away mental clutter. That I wrote that down because I thought that was an interesting way to phrase it. Your new challenge is to stay quiet and be inactive, to relax, to recharge for the something big. I feel like you got to recharge for it. Use seclusion and solitude to gather thoughts and feelings. This is an excellent time to review progress and reassess priorities. So again, with the other card saying disengage from the crowd, this is saying use some solitude. You know, you don't need to go out all the time, or maybe this is good to not have gone out. You know, use this time to build the strength you're gonna need. That's why I liked that. I wrote that down. Next card, I got the moon. The moon kind of means a couple of things. I kind of went as it applies to this reading, I felt. I went with that. This is a time of uncertainty and illusion. Nothing is what it seems. Be careful making decisions. You may be getting only half of the information. Trust intuition and feel into situations rather than think. Let go of mental blocks and negative talk and allow your intuition to guide you. So, I mean, that almost kind of hit on points from both of the previous cards. So I liked that interpretation. You know, things might not be what they look like. Don't make a decision right now. Think, take time, reflect, reset, use your intuition, feel it out. All of those are just kind of this whole three card reading. And I think applying it to what I was thinking about at the top, you know, my preparation, focus, planning, am I being sociable enough right now? You know, it kind of addressed, I was able to address all of those thoughts through this, and it's kind of interesting. So it was very interesting. So that's the reading for this week. I enjoyed it. I hope you did too. So our story this week, this is one I've wanted to tell for a while, but I've had some other ones lined up, and I just decided that I'm going to tell this one today. This was when I was in elementary school, as a young goody-goody mama's boy that I was. And I'll just call this story Captain Safety Patrol. So, I went to elementary school at Hirsch Elementary in the Spring ISD area. It's north of Houston, proper. Excuse me, pretty much. And suburb, you know, suburb of North Houston. We were the Hershey Hawks. And I went there from second grade to fifth grade, because first grade we lived somewhere else, and I went to the Ponderosa Elementary. But I was a Hershey Hawk through and through, which I believe was part, I think that's a line from our school song. But we had these things, and I you know, I'm sure every school had these in some capacity, but we called them the safety patrols. And the safety patrols were, you know, fifth graders, and they basically got to wear a reflective orange belt type slash, so it like went across over your shoulder, like a over one shoulder slung like onto the belt part, and it was like, you know, reflective bright orange. And you know, basically, you know, all they did was really like make sure people like got in from the buses. You had patrol duty. I tried to sit here and really recall what the actual duties of a safety patrol were, but I couldn't really think of any time that I wasn't like just kind of doing whatever. I mean, I know we had to get there early. We'd come in early because we had shit that we were supposed to do, I guess. I don't know. I really racked my brain, and I think that it was just like, maybe at the time I put a little bit more weight on what it was, maybe. Regardless, the safety patrols did things, and I do remember specific duties, because that's what this story is about. When I was in fifth grade, like, you know, I've talked about before, I was a giant pussy GP growing up, scared of everything, you know, just like scared to break the rules, and that, you know, that made it for a great safety patrol, apparently, because I was selected. And I think like teachers have to select you, so they probably get together after school one day and pour a few whiskeys and light their cigarettes up and say like, all right, who's the biggest pussy in your class? You know, I mean, and then they kind of like make this Venn diagram, and whoever keeps overlapping, and I'm sure like it was like John Wayne just overlapped in all of them. And they're like, here we go. Here's a perfect safety patrol. So I was selected. But not only was I selected to be the safety patrol, I was then, and I don't know how this determination was made, I guess by the teachers as well, I was made captain of the safety patrols. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. It means that on my bright orange plasticky reflective belt loop over the holder, boulder, shoulder, whatever, I got a badge that clipped to it that said captain. So, you know, who's a loser now, everyone? Damn it. I got made the captain of the safety patrols. I have no idea why. And I remember maybe one of our duties was to, you know, you run the school store, which was so weird in elementary school. Our school store was nothing but, it was like a cabinet that was longer than it was tall, and it was you know, had a front on it, top, sides, but the behind it had like some shelves in it, and you could like sit back there. And it's fucking elementary school. Why do we need a school store? I never understood that. But you could buy pencils if you forgot a pencil, notebook paper, a notebook, erasers, weird shit. I guess it was to maybe the goal was to build like responsibility or teach responsibility, and that like if you forgot your supplies, well, it's on you to make sure you get them, so you're gonna have to pay for them. I don't know, kids. I don't think kids even grasp that fucking shit, especially elementary school kids. Sorry, that was one of the duties though. Then, but this main duty that I fell into as captain, was number one, we got to raise the flag every morning and take it down. And if it started raining during the day, they would come and get you if you didn't know it was raining, and you had to get like your other safety patrol buddies and run out there in the rain and take the flag down, because you can't fly the flag in the rain, apparently. Or at least you couldn't back then. I don't know. But one of the very most fun, cool duties I thought that I had was, myself and one of the other patrols, Mike, we got to do the sign in front of the school. And what that is, and this is, I know now a lot of schools have these electric signs that, you know, they just, whatever, it's a program or something, you don't have to do anything. But this was a sign where you took like the, you know, the big letters, like you see them still like on the side of the road at bars, you know, those like kind of signs that have the arrow that lights up. And you have to physically put these big kind of, you know, pieces of plastic that are clear with the letters in black on them. And they fit in these grooves and kind of pop out a little bit, like a little bit of a bubble on them when you look at them. That's the kind of sign we had. So every day, myself and my buddy Mike we'd actually meet with Mrs. Robertson, who was, I think, the head of the safety patrols maybe at that time, but she was also my tier 4 English teacher, which tier 4 was like the, you know, whatever AP is now, like that was what tier 4 was when I was in elementary school. And I loved that class, and I loved Mrs. Robertson, and I think that that was very important for me to be in that class, and it was very formative. But she would tell us like what had to go up there. And usually what it is things that are like happening, you know, like early dismissal this day and this day, or parent teacher night, or you know, whatever, happy holiday, you know, something like that. Sometimes those messages would be on there for like the week, sometimes a couple of days and then they'd have to change, sometimes you would change them like every day. So we would always report to Mrs. Robertson in the morning early to get the message, like what we were supposed to do, because it took a little bit of preparation. We had to go, there was a file cabinet where all these letters were filed, and you had to pick out all the letters you needed to make whatever had to go on that, put them in order, and then you walk out there, and I think we had a little step ladder you step on, and like, you know, put this shit on the board. You know, it's like, it was a whole ordeal. And as a, you know, fifth grade captain of the safety patrol, I took this duty, it's a duty, very seriously. God, what a nerd. So one day, not just one day, Valentine's Day. John Wayne, why didn't you save this story for February? Because I didn't want to. It's Valentine's Day. And I remember we're waiting for Mrs. Robertson to come in and give us what we needed to say. And I think she'd come in late or flustered or just whatever. And she was just kind of like, you guys just do whatever you want. We're like, really? She's like, yeah, have fun. Well, I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but we certainly didn't necessarily purposely plan mischief. It was Valentine's Day. It was also a time when The Simpsons had recently come out and was just surging in popularity. I have always loved The Simpsons since the beginning. I'm a big Simpsons guy. I got Simpsons tattoos, all that stuff. Simpsons are the, you know, especially then. So I'm like, you know, you gotta think, I'm like balls deep in everything Simpsons. I have a Bart Simpson posters in my room. I have the shirts. It's the best thing ever. So one of Bart Simpson's early catchphrases was, "Eat my shorts, man." So Michael and I came up with, it's Valentine's Day, we love Bart Simpson, let's make it say, "Hey Valentine, eat my shorts." We thought it was hilarious. Everyone would get it. Everyone would be like, "Simpsons, oh, awesome. You guys, this is the best day ever." So we go out there, and it's early, you know, when we're doing this. So it's before the buses come. It's before, really, kids start getting dropped off. And we put up our sign proudly. We're like, "Hell yeah, that's awesome. What a great job we did. What an awesome thing we've done." And so the day starts, like, people start coming, we're doing our duties and stuff, and we get called out of class by, I think, like, the vice principal, and we get pulled out, and we're with pull us over to Mrs. Robertson, and they're like, who told you to put Eat My Shorts on there? And we're like, we thought it was funny because The Simpsons. And Mrs. Robertson was like, I think she might have gotten in trouble for telling us to just do whatever we wanted, because we were so, like, we thought we were doing a good thing. That's what it was. We truly thought we had done something good. We had been given a responsibility, do whatever you want. We didn't take it lightly, and we really honestly thought we did a good job. So it was kind of weird it was hard for us to accept that we were kind of getting in trouble for this, because that wasn't acceptable. But I think our vice principal saw, this is John Wayne, the giant pussy. Of course he didn't mean any harm behind it. So, you know, we were told absolutely not ever in the future are we to decide what to put on the sign and to always get approval. To go immediately out and take the "eat my shorts" part off and leave the "Happy Valentine's Day" on there, change it to "Happy Valentine's Day" instead of "Hey Valentine," and so we did. And I'll have to double check in with my mom on this. Shouts out, Mom. I can't remember if, you know, that got reported to my parents via a phone call, or I just told them, or it was relayed in some way of, like, this happened. I'm not sure. I'll have to get that and update it. But I just remember thinking it was like, you know, we really did a good thing. I was swelled with pride. I've really used my safety patrol captain duties in a really good way to bring happiness to people. And it was just yanked away. You know, much like the man likes to do. All right, there you go. Captain Safety Patrol. Yeah, but I thought that was a good thing. "Hey Valentine, eat my shorts." I wish someone had taken a picture of that. You know, back then this was not the time of you know, cell phone pictures or anything like that. I think you actually would have to set up a camera across the street, you know, put some flash paper and gunpowder or whatever they used, and then make sure that the sign didn't move for like 2.5 minutes, you know, while it exposed. I'm not sure, but I really wish we would have had that, because that would have been very, very funny. If I had that, I would have it framed in my living room right now. So maybe if a picture exists out there, hey, maybe we'll put it out there, and maybe there was some errant photographer that happened to be, you know, maybe like, be like a George McFly type peeping situation where someone was hanging in a tree trying to take, like, you know, pictures of, you know, some you know, creepy pictures of some woman in her room changing, and then he saw that we put that and, like, just was like, "Huh, that's funny," and turned his camera, took one shot, and then back to the creepies. Maybe. I don't know. These things happen. So we'll see. We'll put it out there. So anyway, thanks for joining me again this week, guys. Don't forget, my new book, As Seen on TV, from Grindhouse Press, comes out the 19th of January this month. Pre-orders are available now for the Kindle version, and they both come out on the 19th. Check it out. I'm very happy about it. Next week, I leave for BizarroCon. Very stoked on that. Actually, if you're listening to this on Monday, I leave on Wednesday, and I'll be there till next Monday, and it's going to be awesome. I will have a full report on that when I get back. Don't forget to check out johnwayneisdead.com for all the other dates that I have coming up as far as conventions and John Wayne is Dead shows. We have a big show January 19th, the day my book comes out, at Rudyard's, a punk rock show. It's going to be awesome here in Houston. Come check us out for that. And then I immediately go to Days of the Dead the next weekend in Atlanta. Hopping good time in January. So check out all those dates, and you can go to the shop page, get the new John Wayne is Dead 12-inch, 7-inches, the new John Wayne is Dead shirts, all of my books, and if you get anything from there, it comes directly from me, so I'll personalize it and send some extra stuff out there too. And I really appreciate that, any support, and listening to the podcast. All of my stuff is on Amazon and Kindle as well, if that is your jam. And my jam is you listening to the podcast. Thank you so much. And, you know, let's all try to have a good time out there. Let's be careful. And I think we could all do every now and then with a little eating of each other's shorts.